Good morning, good afternoon. How you doing out there today? This is David Roberts for the Adult Fitness Podcast. I hope you're having a wonderful, great, and amazing day. We are in March. It is March the 25th, 2024. We are marching, if you would, all the way into spring. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, we won't have to worry about our coats and our boots and winter tires and all that jazz. But this being, you know, Canada, just wait an hour and you might have to, you know, we might go right back. So, but nonetheless, just want to thank you for listening. Hope that you are having a great day. And like I was saying before, we're going to be chatting about dieting. We're going to be chatting about weight loss, and we're going to be chatting about the new, dare I say, magic drug called Ozempic. If you've been watching the news, it's been sweeping the headlines. All the people from Oprah to, oh my goodness, the comedian that's on Netflix. Dang it, her name will come to me. Whoopi Goldberg has also been tied to this drug. There's been a lot of stars that have talked about taking it or talked about using it just because they have, you know, either said or claimed that they've tried to do everything they possibly can and their weight has still remained the same. So we're going to be chatting about that and why it's so difficult and so hard in today's society to lose weight. I myself have had my own issues with, you know, getting in shape over the years, as so many other people have, and so we're going to chat about that. But before we do, just want to let you know you can find the Adult Fitness Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking Google Play, Podbean, iTunes, you name it. We are there, rocking and rolling. And once I'm able to get, I guess, approval from YouTube Studios, I can also put my, the feed for the podcast onto YouTube. So, you know, I'll just put up a picture there and you can check us out on the Marketplace of Ideas YouTube channel. We also have the Adult Fitness YouTube channel. We also have the Marketplace of Ideas podcast where you can, we talk about things of pop culture and everything else. And then we also have another podcast that is called the Of Gods and Monsters, the Strange Tales podcast. So that deals with all things like Area 51 and things of a spooky nature, as it were. So we got the Universal Monsters. We're going to be chatting about them in the next episode. So stay tuned for that. So what we're chatting about today is this drug called Ozempic. And it's been in the news since of last year. Actually, one of the first articles I heard or even saw about this was on May the 28th of 2023 by the Daily Mail. And this is more of like a gossip rag. So if you've ever been in the grocery store and you've seen like the National Enquirer and these magazines that talk about, you know, like Prince Harry marries an alien and, you know, just the most outrageous, outlandish stuff that you see right in the shopping checkout aisle. And you look to your left and you're like, oh, I didn't know the queen was one-third lizard and, you know, and hailed from the planet Melmac. And that's a drop there for all our 80 fans, 80s babies out there. But, so in the Daily Mail, they started to notice that certain celebrities that had little, you know, had been on the heavier side over the last couple of years were now starting to look svelte and lean and mean, walking the runway, you know, showing that sass, and just looking extremely different. And, you know, inquiring minds want to know, hey, what's going on? What's happening? What sort of diets have you been doing? And what have you been using as far as your, you know, your workouts and your meal plans and all that kind of stuff? So there tended to be an investigative nature into what was going on. And if you're in the public eye, everything is examined under a microscope, from your dating life to if you're, you know, what your last movie was charting at, and if you're, how are you doing in your love life and all this kind of stuff. So the Daily Mail talked about this, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But it brings me back to a time period when I was in high school. If you want to take a little trip with me back down memory lane, I was actually looking through my old high school photo album from back in the day. We're talking 98, 97. It was crazy. And You know, back then you're looking at how lean and thin you used to be and all the stuff you used to be able to do, running for all the kilometers you can handle, then going to basketball practice, then coming home, running home, eating whatever you want, going to bed at late hours, waking up with energy. It was just time of your life. You're living it up. And, you know, what happens is as you get a little bit older, you know, you got injuries, you got ailments, your back's hurting, your, you know, hips are in pain, your knees are cracking. You know, you can't, it's just not the same as it used to be, right? Running and working out and everything else. And so sometimes you're looking for a little bit of an edge. And back in the day, creatine was the drug of choice. Now, creatine is not a miracle drug. It's produced in our bodies and it helps us with muscle growth. It also helps us with strength training as well. And it's been proven to actually have side effects of cognitive assistance to help our brains. So creatine is, you know, a pretty harmless supplement, as you were. But back in the day, it was the craze to, you know, we were going to, everybody was taking it, especially if you were an athlete, because you're always looking for an advantage. And I remember when I was working, this was after high school, I got a job working at Payless, and I remember people talking about the Atkins diet and how, because there was a pharmacy right next door to where I worked, and, you know, I'd head into work and then might stop in there for like a drink or something. And I remember just listening to people talk about the Atkins diet. And when Atkins came out back in the day, they had everything from bars and shakes and meal replacements and candy and all that sort of stuff. And basically their premise was with Atkins, and I actually have the article here. I'll just quickly look it up. But with the Atkins diet, The Atkins diet said that its eating plan can prevent or improve serious health conditions such as metabolic syndrome, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Let me see. So the Atkins diet was basically a low-carb, high-fat, high-protein diet. So think of paleo, if you would. Basically think of this is the modern day version of that. And since the early 2000s, numerous studies have shown that low carb diets without the need for calorie counting are effective for weight loss and can lead to various health improvements. The Atkins diet was originally promoted by Dr. Robert C. Atkins, who wrote a best-selling book about it in 1972. Since then, people worldwide have used the Atkins diet and many other books have been written about it. The diet was initially considered unhealthy, mostly due to its high saturated fat content. Today, saturated fat's effect on health and heart disease in particular is a topic of debate among researchers. So, I'm not a doctor, I am not a nutritionist, I'm just a personal fitness trainer. So, you know, please seek actual medical advice when looking for information about your diet and how to proceed with the best way to be healthy. But coming from a personal fitness background and looking at it in that lens, I remember hearing people talk about this, and now you see people latch on to the paleo diet. There's also such things as the bulletproof coffees, where people will put butter and icing sugar into their coffee, and because there's so much fat in it, it's supposed to satiate your diet, causing you not to eat as much, and then causing your body to focus on eating the fat, you know, not eating, but utilizing your fat storage instead of just sugar from carbs and bread and that kind of thing. Crazy thing is, when we are, how should I put this? When we're looking at a lot of these, you know, I don't want to say pseudosciences, but when we're looking at a lot of these fads when it comes to diets and things of that nature, the crazy thing is that it'll latch on with a celebrity or an athlete, and then it'll just take off like gangbusters. And before you know it, it's falling into the media zeitgeist. It's going into the media spin cycle. And before you know it, it becomes almost as ingrained in society as, you know, eat your vegetables and an apple a day keeps the doctor away and all these sort of slogans we've heard for decades. So the reason why I wanted to talk about Ozempic is because within the fitness industry, we've got a lot of people who want to name and claim that their new fad is what's going to lead you to the promised land. It's the silver bullet. It is the one-stop shop for everything that you need. And if you're into the fitness industry, or you just work out, or you want to stay healthy, you have to realize that there's more to it than just a one-stop shop or a one solution or one size fits all. So a great example of this is when you're wanting to get in shape, you have to look at your sleep patterns. You have to look at what time do you go to bed? What time do you wake up? What are the conditions that you're sleeping in? Do you get a deep REM sleep? Do you have small children? Are they waking you up in the middle of the night? Do you have any sort of ailments that stop you from actually, you know, having a good night's sleep? What's your nutrition like? Are you, you know, do you have a diet of healthy foods? Do you even have healthy foods available? There's a lot of places where people live in the United States and Canada and a lot of the developing countries where there are food deserts and they just don't have the right places to get vegetables and fruits and fresh meats at an affordable rate. And so you'll have people living off of convenience store food and everything else where you're like, you know, you can't get a fresh carrot to save your life, you know? And so it's kind of hard to eat healthy and to afford it. And if you have a large family, you're thinking, okay, my kids would much rather have macaroni and hot dogs than lettuce and some radishes, you know? So you're trying to find ways to feed your kids. But so you look at your diet, and then you look at your workout schedule. Like, what are you doing to lose the weight that you have? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to, maybe you're running a marathon. Maybe you want to be outdoors and hiking and climbing and swimming and biking and whatever's your fancy. And then how do you schedule all of this so you have the actual time to do it? So you can't just say, oh, okay, I'm just going to go on this Atkins diet and everything's going to be, you know, all of my decades of bad health decisions are going to be washed away by drinking AG1 green powders or rubbing this lotion on my body or taking this pill or drinking this slim tea or going on the paleo diet or on the vegan diet or on the pescatarian diet or any one of these fads. So I just wanted to take a look at the Ozempic stuff and give my two cents about it because, like I said, every now and again you get some of these diet fads, and it kind of makes me feel a little bit sad because the reality of it is you're not going to just turn around everything in the course of, let's say, a couple of months. It's a lifelong commitment. And if you want to, you know, live long enough to see your kids grow up outside of anything happening outside of your control, if you can do the best you can, why not, you know, try to add a couple extra years onto your life or add a couple of extra quality years onto your life. There's a different, you know, granted, if you live to be 90, but you're stuck on pills and, you know, hip medication and all that kind of stuff, that's not necessarily where we want to be. So I will just read this article here. This was written on May the 28th, 2023, by Lilania Gissen for thedailymail.com. There must be something in the water, FemMail reveals the many stars who've dazzled with dramatic slim downs in recent months. From Oprah to Khloe Kardashian, sparking a frenzy of have they or haven't they with the Ozempic speculation. Many of Hollywood's most well-known faces have undergone major body transformations in recent months, and their sudden slim downs are very interestingly timed with the rise of the popular weight loss drug Ozempic. While some celebrities have admitted to using the medication to shed some extra pounds, like Tesla creator Elon Musk, others have vehemently denied turning to the drug and have insisted that they achieve their weight loss naturally, like Khloe Kardashian, Kylie Richards, and Brittany Cartwright. I don't know who the last three are, but, yeah, whatever. Others have stayed tight-lipped about how they were able to accomplish their svelte figures, leaving many people on the web wondering if they had help from Ozempic. So here we go. The drug is usually prescribed to individuals who have type 2 diabetes and need to improve their blood sugar, but is becoming widely popular as a weight loss aid ever since the FDA approved the active ingredient in it. It is called semaglutide for weight management. It acts like a hormone in the brain and causes people to feel less hungry while slowing the clearing of food from the stomach. Ever since Ozempic became a phenomenon, a slew of famous faces have displayed stunning new physiques. Earlier this week, self-proclaimed yo-yo dieter Oprah showed off her incredible figure when she attended a red carpet event. After spending decades, pretty much decades, being fiercely honest about her struggles to lose weight, actress Mindy Kaling flaunted her 30-pound weight loss in a very revealing swimsuit campaign earlier this month. And Jessica Simpson has consistently been putting her stunning body on display after revealing she had shed 100 pounds in 2020. Here are all the stars who have showed off insane weight loss transformations since the drug was skyrocketed into popularity, and what each of them has to say about how they shed the pounds. So Mindy Kaling, who was in The Office, she said she was seen in late 2021, has lost over 30 pounds in the past year, and she insisted she lost it by reducing the portion size of her meals and getting active. Mindy, seen this month, has lost over 30 pounds in the past year, and she said she was getting active. Let's see who else we got here. We got Khloe Kardashian. She famously said 16 pounds in the weeks leading up to the Met Gala last year, so she could fit into the Marilyn Monroe dress. All right, so there you go. Her sister Khloe Kardashian showed off a very dramatic weight loss transformation in recent months. She's been pictured earlier this month in it. Jessica Simpson. Following the birth of Jessica Simpson's third baby daughter, Birdie Mae, in 2019, she lost more than 100 pounds in just a year. So that's quite a lot. She's had her struggles, you know, with weight. And Oprah. Let's see. When Oprah stepped on the red carpet at the Louis Vuitton cruise show in Italy earlier this week, she showcased an incredibly slimmed down physique. Throughout her decades-long career, the now 69, she's 70 now, year old TV legend, has had an extremely open battle with her weight. So you've got these stars who have, you know, been able to, lose a lot of weight. Now, in 2015, Oprah Winfrey joined Weight Watchers. She joined forces with the company, and within a year, she said she lost 40 pounds through the program. Now, the crazy thing is, right? Crazy thing is that people have been speculating, did her massive weight loss happen because of working with Weight Watchers or working with the drug Ozempic? And I think this is kind of where I want to leave this conversation or this podcast, because growing up, when I was a kid, I fell in love with the idea and the process and the culture of bodybuilding. When I was an impressionable 15-year-old kid playing basketball, wanting to get stronger, wanting to get just fitter so I didn't get pushed off the blocks when I was trying to go for a rebound, because I was a pretty skinny kid, I remember reading the book by Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Education of a Bodybuilder. And in that book, he talked about the power of your mind, but he also talked about working out and exercising and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But he never talked about steroids to the point that if you look at it now, you'd realize, oh yes, of course there was some form of, you know, performance enhancing drug that he was taking. But what happened was, he led us to believe that the majority of his mass was gained through just honest, hard work. And to be completely honest, if you have a solid diet, a proper sleeping routine, and a proper exercising regimen, you can pack on a lot of size and a lot of mass just through eating. But to reach those other type of levels of gains and strength gains, there's only so much your body can do without additional help. And that help will come in the form of pharmaceuticals and everything else. So the crazy thing is that when Oprah Winfrey joined Weight Watchers, or when I would watch Arnold Schwarzenegger push another, you know, protein powder or food supplement, when I would see Hulk Hogan or the Ultimate Warrior from back in the day talk about, you know, eat your vitamins, brother, and stuff like that, you'd buy into it and you'd think, oh, okay, I got a chance to look like that. if I, you know, join Weight Watchers, if I join Jenny Craig, or if I join Take the Atkins Diet or Paleo or any of these things. And the reality of it was, is that a lot of these guys were lying. It was proven, Hulk Hogan, during a deposition that he had when he was talking about steroids use, is that he had lied under oath. And he said, yeah, he broke down and said he was taking it. The Ultimate Warrior, most professional wrestlers were on some form of performance enhancement drug. If you were, alive back in the 90s, when you saw people like Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa just killing it in the Major League Baseball home run derbies and home run race to beat 60 homers, Barry Bonds and Ken Caminiti and all these guys, they were juicing so much it wasn't even funny. They were taking an amazing, amazing amount of steroids and drugs. Why? Because the better you perform, the more money you make. The more money you make, the easier your life can be, regardless of, you know, what people want to tell you, you know. And so they were selling us this dream, while on the back end they were, you know, taking needles and pills and on this various interesting schedule for their, you know, for their physiques. And so it was a total, it was a flim-flam. It was a, you know, it was a con. It was a card game. And they were lying to us. And I think that's where this feels so disingenuous, because if you're somebody who's in the public eye and you're selling us this BS about, oh man, you know, no matter what you do, you can get to where I'm at. You can have the same sort of quality of body, of gains, and everything else that I have. And in reality, that's not how it works. In reality, there's a lot that, unfortunately, will take place, particularly in the fitness industry, Olympic athletes, professional athletes, where it's like, hey, you know what? People are gonna cheat to get that money. And then they're gonna lie about it and say what they're doing is just, oh, good old-fashioned hard work. And that leads me to my next point, which is this idea that you have to win. Okay, let me back up a little bit, sorry. In today's society, particularly in athletics, particularly in fitness, regardless if you're doing it for money, if you're making, you know, your living off of either being a bodybuilder or Olympic weightlifter or a tennis player or a hockey player, whatever, you are trying to get the greatest edge you can possibly get. You're trying to get that, you know, shave off some time off of your 40-yard dash, or you're trying to, you know, get to the puck a little bit faster, or, you know, release the football a couple of seconds, you know, quicker, which could lead to wins, and which could lead to more money, and, excuse me, and accolades, and everything else. And so, we want to be seen as, you know, as honest, hardworking, and any hint of, you know, tipping the scales or, you know, tilting things to your favor really takes the idea that you did this honestly out of the equation. It means you're a cheat. It means that you are a philanderer. It means that you are a bamboozler, that you've hoodwinked people, that you're a snake oil salesman, that you have no scruples and no morals, and all you did was cheat. And if you follow bodybuilding, even if you've taken steroids, even if you've taken human growth hormones, even if you've taken anything, the reality of it is it's ridiculously hard work, even with performance-enhancing drugs, to get to that level of, you know, of a physique of an Arnold Schwarzenegger or a Dorian Yates or Ronnie Coleman. But what these drugs do is it takes away the legitimacy of what you've done. It's literally as if, let's say you start a business, and that business grows to be immensely successful, but yet people come to find out that the only reason it was successful is because your dad and your grandfather, who were billionaires, gave you the startup money. And then they were also able to bring people to your business because they had a business. Let's say it was a restaurant, and so they were like, hey, you know, if you want to shop here, you'll get a little bit off if you also shop here. And so people will look at that and say, oh, you didn't really earn this. You just got mommy and daddy or grandpa and grandma's money to help you. And it really takes away from any type of legitimacy of your hard work, of the sweat and the tears. And I think that's why people lie, obviously. That's why people pretend that, no, I'm really legit. I really did the work. Because I'll tell you, when I was saving up for this house with my wife, and I was working full-time at a gym, I was also cleaning my church on the weekends, I didn't have a free Saturday for a good six years. Every Saturday, instead of going to the mall, catching a movie, relaxing, I would be, cleaning this church. I'd be vacuuming the floors, I'd be mopping the floors, I'd be changing the garbages, or wiping down stuff, and it was not easy. Now, it wasn't like working in a coal mine or something like that, but what happened was by working full-time and then also working on the weekends, I was able to save up enough, along with my wife and our savings and everything else, to put a down payment on a house and, pay for, down payment on a car and stuff like that, and pay off loans and everything else. And what that did for us was gave us a true sense of pride. It gave us that grit. If you don't have anybody to kind of help you, and you got to find a way, if you have to get it out the mud, if you literally have to wake up at 5 a.m. before your regular job and, let's say you're writing articles or designing stuff or shooting, editing videos for your podcast or whatever, and then you go to work and then you come home and take care of the kids and you're doing all this stuff, there's an immense, and I mean an immense sense of pride, and not the bad pride, but like good, honest pride of, when I say bad pride, I mean not the pride that like makes you a pompous ass, but like the pride that says, I did something, I made a plan, I had help. Obviously, we all have help, but I had to put in the work. And in doing so, nobody could take away from the fact that, hey, man, you're just a freeloading bum. Hey, you're just a cheat. It's like, no, I earned this. I went through the proper steps to stand with your head held high and say, I didn't rip anybody off. I didn't cheat anybody. I didn't destroy anything. I didn't tear anything down. I did the work. And when you look at people who take the drugs, who take the quote-unquote easy way out, and I'm not talking about people who are extremely medically, in a way where they need to do something now, right? There's no shame in that. But I'm talking about your every regular day people who, aren't really under the gun medically. It's just they're lazy as shit and they don't want to do the work. It's hard to have any respect. It's very difficult to have any sort of a narrative that says, oh yeah, okay, yeah, you did the right thing. Right? We don't applaud the drug user who stays on the drugs. We don't applaud the single person, mom or dad, who's just strung out on the drugs and doesn't care about their kids. We applaud the person who's like, puts away the crack, puts away the liquor, the gambling, the addictions to whatever, regardless of how tough it is, and does the work, steps in the shit, and takes care of business, gets it done, however, whatever cliche you want to have. And to take the cheap way out is almost, it almost hits your pride in a way. Now, again, I definitely want to reiterate that nobody, if you get a hand up, like a little bit of a help, there's nothing wrong with that. So a great example of that is if you're starting a business and you get a loan, or you get, like, say, a little bit of seed money. So let's say you're starting a restaurant and, you have, like, say, 40 grand saved, but your grandmother comes along and says, here's 20, but you got to pay me back. That's normal. Right? That's honest. The idea that your grandmother would just give you the restaurant is where people are like, okay, you just stepped into a role. You didn't actually do anything for it. Or if you are a singer or an actor and your father or mother or a family member is in the industry and they talk to a producer or a director and say, hey, you know what? Like, you know, my nephew, he acts, or my niece, you know, she's a musician. Why don't you give her a shot? You know, just give her a tryout. You know, let her audition. Let them come in and read for this part. Just give them a shot. And you know, it's a connection. Okay, cool. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We all kind of need help in that way. But if you get on a movie set and your dad's the director, your mom's the producer, your uncle is, you know, the head of the studio, and you're just in these films and you're no good. Like you're horrible. You're just like, whatever. Like, that's nepotism right there. And that's something that within the fitness industry, because it's built on the basis of hard work, it's built on the basis of discipline, of planning your meals, of doing the hard stuff, so there is no real shortcut. At the end of the day, I don't know how anybody, and I mean anybody, could go to bed at night or look at themselves in the mirror and realize, I took the easy way out. Because what happens is that, first of all, you're lying to the people. So people believe, I'm going to be able to do the same thing that they're doing. Realize that, no, that's not the case. They're being lied to, only to sell products or services. But what happens towards the end of it is that there's this stain that is kind of on what you're talking about. And what I mean by that is the bodybuilding industry in particular has always been one that I've always loved. And the hard work it takes to get a fit and, you know, muscular body is a lot of work. It's just insane. It's like a full-time job. If you think about what it would take to actually get to a state where you can even look halfway at what those magazines and, you know, Instagram models kind of look like, it's an incredible amount of work. An incredible amount of work. And your hat has, the tip of the hat has to be taken off to people who do that. Now, if you add like a drug or some sort of cheap, you know, shortcut into it, it negates, like I said before, all of that hard work. And so with bodybuilding, with a lot of these competitions, sure, these guys look incredible and everything else, but people can just say, that's just drugs. You're just taking whatever. And so what that does is not only it takes away the legitimacy of the hard work, but it also leads people to believe that the only way you can make it is either through cheating, it's either through manipulation, it's either through something greasy, and it kind of ruins it a little bit. And so, for me personally, if I ever were to get on a stage and try to, you know, do a bodybuilding show or whatever, you know, it would be natural. And I remember growing up, a lot of people would look at natural bodybuilding and or natural strongman competitions where they're, you know, not using anything, and they've been off of whatever they used to use for up to like 5 or 6 years, I believe it is, or a couple of years. They don't, obviously, you're not going to get the same look. You're not going to get the same, you know, level of lifts and whatever else, but it's honest. And I think that, you know, your good name is far better than having the accolades. Like, if you could honestly look at your kids, honestly look at your spouse or your family members or your friends and say, look, I did it the right way. And yeah, I may have lost to this guy who cheated, but I could honestly say, I really did the work. And legitimately, obviously we want to win. Right? We live in a culture that says by any means necessary. I remember an ad back in the day. This was in the 90s, and Nike had some great advertisements back in the day. They used to kill it. And one of the ads was, it said, you don't win the silver, but you lose the gold. That's for an Olympic sort of headspace there. Or, hey, you know what? You don't come in second, you're the first loser, or something like that. Like this stress and this anxiety that we put on people to be the best can come to bite you in the ass. And so we can't be surprised when people under those assumptions are like, well, I gotta do it, you know, because so much is riding on me. Simone Biles, who was one of the most decorated gymnasts in American history, had to take time away from the Olympics just because she had got what is called the swirlies, where she's jumping and flipping, but her mind just isn't there. And it's a dangerous combination because it could lead to injury or worse. And I remember listening to her talk about how she felt about the pressure she was under just to perform, to make her country proud, to make people think that, oh my gosh, she's worthy of this respect. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Like, this poor girl. You know, here she is trying to do her best, and people are just, you know, crapping on her. So, I, to kind of end this podcast, I just wanted to say that cheating is never worth it. Particularly when it comes to fitness. Do it the right way. You know, change your diet, drink your water, stay away from the fads. There's nothing wrong with maybe, you know, supplementation that helps your diet. Like I'm saying, I'm not a doctor, so please, you know, talk to a dietitian. But there's nothing wrong with getting something that, you know, doesn't cause your heart rate to spike and doesn't cause you to jitter. I remember I took a pre-workout. This was the last time I ever took a pre-workout. This was a decade and a bit ago, but I was doing some deadlifts and I'm like, I need a bit of a pump. So I remember taking this stuff and it had a lot of caffeine in it, a lot of sugar. And I remember, damn, like I took this stuff and I was still shaking like an hour after. I was just wired. I was like, what the? And after that, I don't touch the stuff anymore. I don't want no parts of it. I don't want no issues with it, because to me it feels like it's something artificial. I'm gonna try to get hyped from, you know, from drinking water and some natural stuff if I can. And I mean, the whole debate on what's natural and what isn't is a whole other podcast in and of itself. But I'm saying personally, the easy way is going to look beneficial, right? You look at a lot of scriptures out there, from, you know, the Torah to the Bible to the Bhagavad Gita, if I said that correctly, to all sort of religious texts that will tell you, hey, take the road less traveled, right? Like, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But do what's right. Like it says, I believe there's a verse in the Bible that talks about taking the narrow gate instead of the wide one. Right. Yeah, it's going to be tougher to do the right thing, to not take the steroid or the drug or whatever. But you could say honestly, hey, I did the best I could with what I had, and I didn't try to cheat anybody. I didn't try to rip anyone off. I didn't try to do something that was going to harm my health or, you know, bring embarrassment to the industry. I mean, heck, if you ever want to look up Lance Armstrong and what he's doing now. Good God. Like, that man is radioactive now. Like, his name is garbage. Or, there's another Olympian that had lied about her drug use as well. Marion Jones, if I'm not mistaken. Those two athletes were some of the most celebrated athletes in American culture. And right now, I don't think, they're doing much. And that's all to say, just to kind of wrap this up, that a drug like Ozempic seems like a good deal at the time. And I get it if it's like for real medical issues, okay, let's go. But if it's for just the aesthetics, if it's to fit into a dress, or if it's to look good for a high school graduation or your sister's wedding or blah, 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 like, don't compromise your health or even your good name just to look a certain way, and then people will look at you and be like, oh, you're just a cheat. You're just a creep. You ain't really, you know, you're just, look at you. Like, it really, I'm keeping it honest, it really takes away from the ability that you can say that you did something on your own, under your own steam, rather than just, you know, getting it out of a bottle or out of a needle or out of a syringe. So, I mean, like I said, that's my two cents on the whole Ozempic thing. Hopefully, at the end of the day, you choose what's right for you when it comes to your health. And trying to maintain longevity. But I want to thank you for listening to this. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Hopefully you get out there, get some fresh air, get some exercise. But like I was saying before, we've got plenty of more episodes coming. We've got over 100 or so episodes on our podcast. So look for that. And like I said, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, from Google Play to Podbean to iTunes. But until next time, take care, keep fit, and have fun. Peace.